Hi, this is Russ, and we're getting ready to start into session number 17. If you've been through, and this session here goes along with all the others, the overview was session 16, and you really need that first in considering doing deliverance for a multiple, a cult multiple, SRAMPD. The overview gives just pretty much the overall thing you'll have to do each time you meet with them. Whereas this will go into bigger and broader detail when you are dealing with demons inside a cult multiple. You need to think in terms of, you know, Mark chapter 5, major demonization, but major demonization segmented down into separate personalities. And you don't have just a single personality to deal with afterwards as far as, you know, they're picking up the cross and following Christ. You've got numerous personalities. So the approach is deliverance, inner healing, numerous levels of ministry overall. So think in terms of a tree. Like, I was outside today and I saw on one of our big trees out here, a beautiful tree, but on a number of branches, there were big blackbirds. On a number of branches, not all of them. In every cult multiple, there are demons in certain personalities, but not in all personalities. So you might have a personality that's up front right now in front of you in a session, but may have no sense of demonic presence or anything else on them. There's no manifestation. There's no sense. You can tell the difference sometimes when a switch occurs over to a personality that has demonization. So a lot of this has to do with just Holy Spirit perception, knowing where to look and how to look, and dealing with the demonization in multiples. Many times I've seen, even on television, I've seen just some reckless deliverance work with multiples when people said they got the demons out, the person was all happy. Well, yeah, the personality that came forward that had demons, they may have got the demons out. But there may be 15 other personalities down below that all have, you know, demons, let alone many other personalities that need inner healing. And so there could be some reckless work done on that level. Just as reckless as, untaught and uneducated believers that want to do the right thing. They want to get demons out of a person. But if they think that all the demons inside are personalities, in other words, all the personalities are also demons, and they just need to be cast out. I was reading a website, a major website, just the other day, that said that they believe that all the personalities are actually demons and everything has to be kicked out. Well, again, that is an uneducated and it's just simply a way of ministry that is not going to work. The personalities, if you yell at them and use the authority of Jesus, human personality will not be affected. They will just simply submerge and go down and stay away from you and wait until they can come up and talk to somebody and find freedom in a different way. So it's very important to understand that the authority of Jesus, that Jesus gave to believers, is to be released on the demonic realm only, and only will we be able to overcome all the power of the enemy with that authority. But that authority is only and specifically for that kind of spiritual warfare. It simply has no effect on human personality. It just simply does not. So let's take a look at page 44, session 17, in this Freedom Encounters Internet course. Point one, go after all the demonic in the SRAMPD. In the cult multiple, bottom line and all of it is, you got to go to all the demons everywhere, every personality, every level, layer, you know, inside, outside, coven level. You know, it's just think in terms of that kind of approach. The bottom line is going after all the demons. I don't say the tricky part, but the tougher part is finding them all because of the issue of them hiding and being in other personalities and not wanting you to detect them so that you would engage them. In going after all of them, two things to keep in mind. The ruling demon. Sometimes a personality may have a head demon with 10 demons under them in them alone. One personality may have one head demon with numerous demons under them. The system of personalities in a cult multiple when you look at the entire system, and that's how I start the approach, I look for the ruling demon of the entire system. In terms of, if I look at a tree, and on one branch there are 5 birds, another branch there are 10 birds, 10 other branches there are no birds. Top of branches might have 2 birds, and the low branch might have 20 birds. Well, in a cult multiple, there's going to be one head ruling demon over all the branches, over all the demonic, you know, that's within the whole structure. So I will usually call in the session for that ruling demon. Sometimes it's hard to get that one at first. They will send up others. They allow others to come up to battle for them. But when I come to the ruling demon, that's who I'm going to deal with. That's where more information is going to come from. And ultimately, when we're commanding that demon out of there, we're also commanding that all the demons under his rule and reign and under his authority and under his legalities, you know, all the rest of the demons under him who he's been ruling have to come under him and go with him. And we've seen in many cases where that just simply brings out all the demonic presence completely at that point anyway. You also have to think in terms of the coven demon. If they're part of a local group, there may be a kind of territorial or demon over the whole group of the coven that is operating in an area in which the demon over that whole group would also be over your multiple that you're dealing with. And so think in terms of praying against any demonic ownership and ruling presence over them, let alone in them. And listen, you're just going to need a lot of the Holy Spirit's perception. This takes time. This takes experience. And it's always better to work in a team, as I've already said, so that 2 or 3 can bear witness to certain things and engage a number of things. Maybe when you're missing something, others can. There's other persons too, like the priest or maybe a splitter handle or whatever. They may have a demon that's connected to a specific demon in the multiple for the sake of a connection. Some might call it even a soul tie. But they may have a connection for example, as far as information being transferred, or just simply that if you begin to engage the cult multiple and kick out the demon there, that demon may go, unless ordered otherwise, straight to the person that's in charge of them to inform the demon. Bottom line, a communication goes over and coven members or the handler finds out. Which is okay in a way, too. We've also done deliverance where we commanded that demon and specifically gave information, instruction, and ordered it in the name of the Lord Jesus that when it did go to the coven or the coven handler over that person to either inform them about God's judgment or whatever we felt, again, led specifically by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's simply how we've done it over the years. I'm giving you the general sense right now of the ruling demon and the outside coven or demon that is over them from the local area. The second thing that you're going to have to look at from the very beginning also is the issue of bloodline demons. In an SRA, cult multiple, satanic ritual abuse, primarily, if you're dealing with somebody in their 30s and 40s or early 50s at this point, you are dealing with somebody where it all began pre-birth. It was going on in their biological mother and father that were probably designated to come together at a certain time, conjuring spirits possibly, particular spirits to design this whole thing, to come in and be in them and then transferred, at the point of conception. That there might be some level of bloodline. Now, this is also true, that in the sense that generationally, SRA victims, the grandfather, and this goes back a number of generations, where the demonic has been built up in grandfather or great grandfather or grandmother, and the powers that were developed there. When a human being dies, the demons have to leave. And there's a particular ritual where they want to release that power down into the next generation. Now, if you think in terms of Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah was going to be taken up by the chariot, he's going to, of course, go to heaven. And Elisha wanted his mantle, his power, the power of God. You know, in a sense, there was a handing down. So you get an understanding of spiritually, things can be handed down in that sense. So the mantle, the demonic mantle in a grandfather can be handed down to the next generation, to the next generation, and basically continue to pick up power if it's uninterrupted. So that if there's an ancient bloodline and there's 30 people in that bloodline where powers have been handing down, well then the furthest one down has more powers than all the rest. And that's, again, a way of the demons, the way that, you know, they like to design things and continue to transfer their powers and to stick around through legal grounds. So bloodline, in that sense, from of old, is legal ground to them. The idea of transferring from grandfather, grandmother to the next generation. And if there's any interruption, to a grandchild. So that powers are brought down. Now, powers can also be transferred through the spilling of blood in ritual. If somebody already has demonic presence and power in their life in a big way, and a ritual's done, and blood is drawn, well, that blood, many times we've found coven groups that will sell that blood, or the person drinking that blood may obtain, at least they believe, whether you or I do, they believe that they're going to attain the powers that are in that blood, which means the demons attached to that blood from demonized individuals. Now, the idea of attachment to the blood is a little bit different than even familiar spirits. In other words, say a grandfather was in the Masonic order or whatever, and he did. He conjured spirits, and he has a few spirits in him or on him, and his son or daughter, those demons will claim bloodline to be a familiar spirit, to have legal rights in that family line, so that the next generation, even if that boy doesn't get into the Masonic order, the demons may be passed down in this sense. At the very least, influence. They feel they have a right to influence. They have the right to be there. So you're going to find many times when you're dealing with demons inside of multiple that there's going to be demons that have this familiar designation. They believe they have a right to have influence in that cult multiple's life because of demonic attachment maybe in one of the parents and or grandparents. Now, the other issue is genetics in the sense of Nephilim blood. Again, this is a study we do heavily in the Black Awakening materials. But somebody say here that, like Hitler and the whole search for the Aryan race and pure blood, the issue of pure blood meant the purer they could find as far as an Aryan, because an Aryan would be a superhuman. Why? Because that blood was mixed with Nephilim down the generations. Again, as you follow the Old Testament generations of even after the flood, Zamzumis, Anakites, and so forth, that had those same distinguishing characteristics of a Nephilim, a demon-human hybrid, which meant that the human would be larger, stronger, more powerful, and whatever. Well, in the cult multiple, in their system of stuff, they also believe that genetically the demons are in the demon properties or the Nephilim blood properties are in the blood. And that's where real powers, you know, come from. So that if they can get somebody that is of real pure blood in this Nephilim sense and a woman of real pure blood in Nephilim sense and breed a child, well, then that child should have even more a purer Nephilim level of blood and have more powers and become more and more a super child. Now, that's been the goal behind the whole creation of a master race, which never ended in the 40s, but continued since that time and has grown throughout the United States, Canada, and England in the last 60 years. Most of the chosen ones would understand this when you get down lower, and you talk to them. In the context of doing deliverance and personalities interacting, especially if you get to personalities that understand being a chosen one, and they understand genetics like this and Nephilim and everything else. So bottom line is still going to be breaking that by the authority of Jesus. Jesus' authority still, like we read in Luke chapter 10, he has given us authority to overcome all the power of the enemy, whether genetically, whether familiar, whether they drank demonic empowered blood. Doesn't make any difference. One of the ways to evidence that they may have the kind of Nephilim or aspects of Nephilim blood is if they say, from birth I was a psychic, from birth I had powers, from birth I could see the dead, from birth they had occultic powers. Well, it means one of two things, that at least the grandfather, grandmother was into demonic stuff and the demons there on a familiar basis legally claimed ground to their generation. Or literally that there is some aspect of Nephilim blood, demonized blood, and the abilities were there, and they could say, oh, I remember when I was 3, I remember when I was 5, and I could astral project. Well, all that's, whatever you find out along the way, the bottom line, by the authority of Jesus to overcome all the power of the enemy and take specific authority over these areas and break them and command them to be rendered powerless and have them also go through to renounce bloodlines, demons in the bloodlines, Nephilim blood, to renounce all this, which includes any occultic abilities. Let me say something here. When I've led some cult-loyal personalities and told them that they're going to have to renounce their psychic seer and other occultic power abilities, there's been a couple of times where they didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep their abilities. They were like, why can't I just come to Christ and keep these abilities? Because those abilities, their source is in demonic presence, whether transferred down, familiar, drunk in other blood, put into you while you were a baby, or Nephilim blood. It's not right. It's demonic. Second Corinthians 5 and 6 is very clear about this issue, especially chapter 6. What does the temple of Baal have, Belial have to do with the temple of God? Nothing. You can't mix. And they can never receive the Lord Jesus fully in the sense of being really born again, really delivered, and the power of the Holy Spirit given to them, and gifts of the Spirit given to them. It just will not happen. And so there has to be a renunciation. And there's been times where there's been a battle of the will of some cult multiples that wanted to keep their powers when it came down to this. And so that's where you engage and discuss and let them know. We had one who was able to do remote viewing, and they wanted to keep this demon named Argon. But, when we finally commanded for Argon to tell the personality what Argon, the demon's real goal was to take them to hell forever, then they wanted it out and said afterwards that they could not project out any longer in that remote viewing way. Because that power, it was empowered by the demonic. So yeah, they're going to lose their powers. There's no question. But again, Jesus said, what would it profit a person if he gained the whole world, including other demonic powers, yet lose his own soul? So there's an exchange here. The promise is that God will give them the power of the Spirit of God and giftings of the Spirit of the Lord and so forth, pure things, right things in the sense of Christ. And the bottom line is, regardless, to sell out, the demons are demons. The abilities, if they come from demons, hook them completely to demons and can only be used for demon purposes. And so this has to be renounced and authority has to be taken over it and broken. Point 3, page 44, demons from design and at birth. You're going to find that some of the demons will claim, I've been here from the beginning, I've been here from birth, I was put in, even while the baby was inside the womb or whatever, that there were the biological mother, father, the demonized father and mother may have done rituals for the designing. You heard of designer babies in that issue? Well, that's true on a spiritual sense. Designing the child to be receptive to spiritual things, demonic things, and wanting certain powers to be granted even in an early age in the baby, so that they would become something powerful down the road and they have plans and so forth. And it may be the demons were leading the mother and father or the coven group in that design to help create a chosen one. I mean, there is somewhat, maybe out there somewhere among the brotherhood, whatever, there is a book that says, how do you create a chosen one? You know, Aleister Crowley, you know, in his design for a moon child. Well, it involves specific ritual and so forth. So there is design behind it. And there is a certain level of, just like there's design in a ritual, there's also design in the creation of the multiple, which we've already talked about. You're going to have to dissociate them, split them, program them, demonize them, and train them, and keep building them with demonic powers and so forth. So taking authority over all of what was designed for them. You know, God has a plan for our lives, but Satan did have a plan for them too. God has a design for our life and a plan for our life in Christ, and he gives us his spirit and leads us in his way. Well, Satan has a design and has a way in which he wants particular demons in chosen ones and to create his little army. And you got to take authority over that design and over the any demons at birth and so forth. So you may be face-to-face with a demon speaking through a personality and finally under the authority of Christ confessing that they've been there since conception. Either way, you're going to take authority and break them. And you might call up, is there any demons? We command in the name of Jesus any demons that were conjured pre-conception or at conception or at the birth, and demand that they come so you can break those areas. So preconception demonization, demons that also create dissociation. Now, I want you to hear me. There are demons that have function. People go, well, there's a suicide spirit, a lust spirit, a greed spirit, whatever. Well, demons have, some of them can have a particular function, that's their main thing they do. So a person can have a demon who functions on lust and sexual perversity and drives a person to that. Same thing in the area of dissociation. Particular demons, I've heard of mind control demons and so forth. Well, they can help create. They're the ones that gave the technology on this whole issue of splitting and transmuting humans anyway. So again, dealing with demons who helped create the dissociation, involved in the splitting and being present at the moment of splitting and or being conjured and placed in the new fresh personality. Demons in ownership come from the fact that this child, this one you have in front of you was bloodlined. They were chosen in a demonic sense at the very beginning to become one of the chosen ones. It was considered a privilege to the family and really by the chosen one, it should be considered a privilege that they were chosen for this. And so there's going to be a high level of sense of we own this person. And I've heard numerous times in beginning to engage somebody, a demon will cry out, no, we own them. They are ours or whatever. Well, they can say whatever they want. Fine. But here I stand with the authority of Christ and I take authority over that. And I'm going to command those demons to cease, and I'm going to eventually command those demons out of the person and taking ownership over them. Now, somebody said, well, don't you got to get the person saved first before you do all this? Well, let me again follow the New Testament. That just never happened. Nobody ever stopped a demonized person and said, listen, get saved first, then I'll cast the demons out. Every time there was any level of demonic manifestation or known demonic stuff, they just got rid of the demonic stuff with the goal of course, leading them people to Christ. And like Mark chapter 5, or the woman that Paul dealt with in the book of Acts, where he just simply was agitated, turned around and commanded the demon to leave her. And it left her. And they never asked. So I'm going to tell you right now, biblically, all the way through, whether Jesus or any of the early disciples, the apostles, and second generation believers, they didn't sit around and ask. They just got rid of the demons to free the person so that they could be liberated and choose Jesus and come under a new ownership in Christ. So it is going to be vital that when you get rid of demons, and specifically demons that claim the ownership, that want them to surrender to Christ and come under the and be marked in Christ by the Spirit of God under a new ownership. And that is important. And through all of this, if it's particular demon or personalities that are dealing with certain demons that are on them, getting those personalities to renounce any kind of rituals and any kind of workings. And again, there's sequence to this, but there's no way to say that something else is going to pop up, another demon's going to come up over here, the personality is going to switch to another demonized personality. You just got to, you know, continue to move on every demonic presence. Continue to be led by the Spirit of God to find anything else demonically. And we're going to talk about here later about the Spirit of God in calling up demons by name that God gives you to where they might be hiding or whatever. And that's important too. But point four is important for all of the SRA MPDs. Most of them that you deal with, if you bring up the marriage to the beast issue, you know, front personalities might have some memory of it, but eventually the person who's been through that ritual, usually at 6 years old and 13, those are major things. This is where they literally believe that Satan came into the high priest or whatever and ultimately had sex with the child at 6 and 13 in a particular ritual where there was a, you know, Satan is claiming ownership. This is where this claim of a chosen one is kind of like confirmation, counterfeit to the Catholic versions of of confirmation and so forth. So that they're confirmed into Satan's rank, confirmed as the satanic chosen one, special in Satan's sight, and so forth. They're made to feel. And you'll hear stories of the girls especially being dressed up and all kinds of even pageantry played out in a ritual. Either way, when you have demons that begin to claim, you know, ownership in this sense, that she's owned by Satan, etc., no. That's all right. You just tell them, no. Well, in the name of Jesus, we break that. And again, getting the personalities to also pray with you to renounce these things. But again, you just take authority. You take authority. Jesus, when he dealt with the guy in Mark chapter 5, that guy could have said, you know, demons could have said, we are legion for many, and he let many of us in, and there's hundreds and thousands of us in here, and you're not going to, you know, we have rights. Jesus didn't, you know, he wasn't recognizing their rights. You as a believer have the authority of Jesus Christ to trample on demonic realm, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So, you know what? Just boldly come against the demon with authority. Be stern like Jesus was. You don't have to scream and yell. You don't have to make it a production and slap people in the head. Matter of fact, in almost every single case in the New Testament, nobody ever touched a demonized person because they're always wanting to transfer. So just, it's all about speaking to them, command and demand, which you're going to see here in a few moments. This whole issue of demons and ownership and so forth. Sometimes even a multiple may have markings, maybe even a necklace or whatever else that may associate them with that demonic ownership. And again, get them to give that up and to give up anything that is associated with their reception of demons, the kind of demons and so forth. Because again, in a multiple, there's this whole comprehensive approach because the multiple is like a tree. And many branches, some branches have those blackbirds, those demons on them, and some branches don't. Some along the way, the idea for a chosen one, for a cult multiple, is to keep adding demons to them. That's why they would even create personalities that learn how to do rituals, that can do rituals, that can speak the ancient languages, that can conjure spirits, all of that, so that those they can gain more powers for themselves. Please, as a Christian, do you and I understand Acts 9:22? Saul of Tarsus got saved. 3 days later, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. He begins to do the work of God, and then it says in verse 22 that he grew more and more powerful. Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of power. Acts chapter 4, when they, you know, when they were threatened not to speak again, they got together, quoted scripture, sought God, asked for more boldness, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. And actually there was a powerful movement of the Spirit of God that shook the building, and they went out and started doing the will of God. Well, if you're a believer and you understand, you know, I mean, we sing that sometimes. There's that Christian song that we sing, more love, more power, more of you in my life. So that's their concept. We want to open wider to the Spirit of God to let him rule and reign in us with the liberation that comes from Jesus and to operate in us in what I call a normal sense, whereas demons were never meant for human personality, kind of like a splinter in the skin. They can get in there, but they're not meant. And so it's very important to understand that there's a vast difference from you and I having the Spirit of God and them having demons. If you think in terms of demons being splinters, well, yeah, I mean, they're there, and but they're it's not a normal thing, but they can be. And so along the way, when there is more splitting occurring, demonization can occur because of that trauma. Demons can help in the causing the splitting because they can help in the dissociation. And right at the split, demons can transfer right to the new personality and be a pawn. Well, there's primary demonization that occurs when programming is done. Once programming is done in a personality, for example, if they've been programmed to be a runner, or if they've been programmed to do a ritual, to literally do an entire ritual, once the programming, the words, the mental stuff that has been put in to say what their job and mission is, well, then the idea is to conjure demonic presence and put on the programmed personality. You and I as a believer should understand. We get saved, we're born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you should be my witness. We will be clothed with power from on high. And for us as a believer, that's a good thing. We love that. And in those who are willingly given over to Satan and the demonic, they love that idea on their part too. They also have an agenda, a goal, and they need demonic empowerment, clothed with demonic empowerment. Just like there's gifts of the Spirit of God unleashes giftings and workings in our lives as a believer. Well, and if you think in terms, again, one holy, infinite Holy Spirit, they need many demons because one demon doesn't contain it all. So if they conjure demons, they can give powers for telepathy, clairvoyance, can give powers to help read minds, can give powers to, release ritual warfare, those kind of things. So along the way, more demons are obtained. More demons are put onto new levels of programming. They want more power, more ability to make the warrior, the master race person, the chosen one, even more powerful. And so you're going to come against demons that have abilities, demons that have powers, demons that can speak other languages. And again, you're same thing. You have to deal with them to break that and to have any personalities eventually renounce those things and to take authority over that and command them. And again, you're dealing with personality. If you're dealing with Sarah over here and you get all the demonic stuff out of her, and then you're dealing with Joey over here, and then you're dealing with Frederick over here, and then you're dealing with Iris over here, or whatever the personalities, it's no different than walking into a room where there's 10 people that all gave over themselves to demons, and you begin to minister to one, and the rest of them are all kind of watching you, and maybe they want to interrupt or whatever, and you get the demons out of one, doesn't mean you got the demons out of the rest. So this whole issue of putting demons on one personality, then putting demons on another personality, and putting demons on another personality and another, that is a way of, even if you get to one personality and get off the demons there, they may have 30 other personalities that have demons on them, and you didn't get all the rest. So in the beginning, dealing with the ruling spirit and head spirits and so forth, there is times where we've taken care of demons in all of the branches, sub-personalities at once. And that's part of the goal and asking the Lord to seek you to lead that way. Otherwise, sometimes when one personality is up and manifesting, you got to just deal with that. And you got to deal with, and again, as the Spirit of God, there's been times I felt led to command a demon in a certain personality to tell me the name of the ruling demon. And they were terrified to do so. But under the authority of Christ, I wouldn't let them leave. I wouldn't let them go anywhere. I wouldn't let them call out. I wouldn't let them, get help from anybody else, but demanded that they tell me the name. And when I got the name and I called that head demon up, Then we commanded that all the demons, when we kicked him out, to go with him. And so it's possible, in that sense, to shake the whole tree so all those black birds, those demons, are going to come out. Many times it goes, you know, branch by branch. But just, you know, as the Lord leads you and as you know what to do. The demonization along the way includes their powering up and purifying themselves in a demonic sense. They do rituals to purify themselves from any contamination from Christians, from any sense of the will, not wanting to be subjugated and captive to do Satan's will. They got to be purified from that. Purified means that demons will be added to keep them fully in line. Now, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, purify yourself from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for Christ, for the Lord. Purify yourselves from everything that contaminates. So anything that you might, some food that was directly related and offered to idols, or if you got something in your life, God's telling us to purify ourselves from anything that contaminates our body and or our spirit. They're doing the same thing, folks. They're doing the same thing. So when you come up to them, please understand, you know, you're kicking out demons left and right, but you're also going to have to lead personalities. Again, that's where that next step immediately comes in. And sometimes it's all overlapping. I sometimes have one personality I'm dealing with, and we kick out all the demons in them. And maybe we have called the ruling spirit and kicked out demons, but this personality we've asked, you know, invited Jesus to come in now to do a healing and saving and cleansing and ministering to this personality, and ultimately to see what else the Lord wants to do. And if there's personalities that want to, you know, literally be healed and freed and to go with Jesus. And when that occurs, then again, obviously, no matter what occurs, no demons can come back on that level of them. No demons can come on those personalities who've been healed by Jesus and have gone with him, and they cannot be affected any longer. So in kicking out the demonic, though, because demons have been, you know, that's why I'm saying you may have many demons and different kinds of demons. Demons on the sex slave personalities, program personalities, demons on the runners and assassins and all the other ones. Because demons are to empower them to stay in that satanic will, to do the will of what they've been chosen for. And they have to be demonically empowered to make sure that they operate that way. Well, let's look at point six, page 45, personalities, demons, and spiritual warfare. Now, there are some personalities that while you're dealing on an upper level in the beginning, you may not understand, but I always begin the sessions blocking this issue. They may be doing demonic warfare against you while you're even talking to another personality. They're wanting to make you sleepy or headache and foggy and so forth, or blinded, whatever. So even in the very beginning, I'm already praying, Lord, we command that there will be no demons operating in any way. No demons can be conjured. No demons can be sent. And so whatever you, and all along the way of the deliverance part of this, and that just, you know, you got to be open for deliverance all the way until this person is completely healed. You just got to be very Holy Spirit sensitive to warfare issues. If you feel agitation like the Apostle Paul did in the book of Acts, then look for the demon. Sometimes you have to command the, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Demons calling on other demons. Now, there are sub personalities that will conjure demons to come back. Some will release demons against you right in the meeting. There are demons that are below. You might be dealing with a branch up higher, a personality up higher that had two or three demons, and you're dealing with that. But down below, there may be another personality that has 10 demons, and they are, or the demons themselves are, wanting other demons to come and help them. And again, that's why we bind that in the beginning, that no demons will be able to come to anybody for help, that we cut all of that off. We invite angels of God to be all around and for the Lord to order the entire time. and we're not permitting that to occur. And where we find any attempts to that, you know, we go after that immediately. Point 7 on page 45, demons playing hide-and-seek. Yes, they can be dismissed prior to the meeting. This has happened a number of times with us where a cult model was brought and they know they're coming in for a deliverance session, freedom encounter, and personalities inside that might have 30 demons. They may do some level of whatever they consider a ritual, whatever, and take the head spirit in them and have them to leave them for, you know, to go out of them and just be off somewhere in that spiritual realm to the right or left, to be out there somewhere and to wait until they get away from us that they can go back and the demons will come right back in. So that has happened, and so you what you're going through, if you get a sense of, and you just look at them and say, did you dismiss the demons? There's times that I just simply looked and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command any and all demons that have been dismissed so that they wouldn't be in this battle to come right back here and to be bound. They won't be able to fight or do anything, but I command any and all demons that have been released ahead of time to come here right now, or any demons that have tried to leave, come here right now under the authority of Jesus. You will stay until you are dealt with and told what to do. So that's done also. I hope you're noticing too, when it comes to demons, no mercy. You take charge, you stay in charge all along the way with demons. You be straight up with the demonic realm. Jesus sternly commanded them to come out. He never gave them any mercy or any room. Human personalities and the human themselves, compassion on them, mercy on them, showing them kindness and so forth. But the demonic, no. They're just to be cast out. And usually it's a cult priestess that knows how to do these kind of things as far as dismissing them. And I've seen some of them get very angry. I remember a person, when I showed up, the Spirit of God just told me. We were on the steps. We weren't even in the house. That she had dismissed demons out of her so they wouldn't be there to be engaged. And I looked right at her and said, you already dismissed spirits out of you so they wouldn't, be engaged. Oh, she got angry at me, and how did you know? And she went stomping off, slammed the door, and literally went to the bathroom, into the bathroom, and locked the door and wouldn't come out. Well, they can't hide from prayers. Others, again, on the other side, we talked about they can call on others. One personality can be crying out also for another personality's demons on the inside. And so it's like on a tree limbs, if you look at birds, where they hop from one limb to another. In a real sense, like that tree, demons can, if you engage a personality as a demon, they may slip down and out off to another personality in the system. And it's like, where did it go? Well, you didn't go out. You didn't cast it out. And again, that's why you're going to take authority and command, all the way through the system. There are going to be no demons hiding, no demons running to others. We block that. We bind that. Again, everything the Lord tells you to do and shows you to do, and you perceive the Spirit of God showing you to do, you do it to keep them from hiding and everything else. You give them authority, commands, and you take your authority and command them to come forward as you're dealing with who you need to deal with first. That's, again, leaning on the Holy Spirit for that sequence and moving to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Until everything is done. Point 8 is on page 45 is demons and charged objects. Sometime they might be coming in wearing a necklace around or rings, or they might have something in their purse. They might have an object that they brought. So when multiples come in, or if you're going to their place to see them, here's some things you need to know. What are they wearing? What kind of clothing? Ritual clothing, priestess clothing, an amulet around their neck of protection. Do they have demonized charged objects that are supposed to help them, to give them power, to protect them, to seal them, to keep personalities down below where they'll not come up to where you can deal with them? What did they give you? Did they give you something ahead of time? Did they give you something when you walked in the door? Here's a gift. Is the gift a demonized charged object that is meant to cause you harm and to keep you from really perceiving and knowing and whatever, already being a battle? So I never receive. I just, across the board, no offense, but I never receive. I don't take gifts from cult multiples. even if a front person thinks nothing's wrong, it may be a lower person, because we found that out. This is how it's occurred. We know this by our experience numerous times now, where an inside cult loyal person will have a charged object, or even if the outside up front, you know, friendly person buys you a gift, before they bring it to you, the cult loyal personality led by the demons might want to take 15 minutes and take that thing and do whatever, or release demons on it or whatever they need to do. And unbeknownst to even the front person that's dealing with you, they give you the gift. They don't even know it's charged. Well, be sensitive to that and pray over objects that are tried, you know, to be given to you, and or don't receive them. I'm not saying receive them just because you prayed over them so you can have them. I don't keep them. If it's a demonized object, I don't want anything to do with it. And so be concerned about, you know, them trying to do that, because it may be a demonized with an assignment, again, to an ultimate idea is to keep you from getting to the rest of the inside of them. What is in the room? Is there anything in the room? Again, if you've gone to their house, if you're out in the field, if you're going to meet them somewhere, have they put things, you know, in the room that are charged objects? So taking a look around the room, and if you take a team to somebody's house, the team should know this, to be looking around. And in the very beginning of the whole prayer, you might begin by, in the very opening part of the prayer, Lord, we take authority over any objects in the room, any spells done in this room, any candles, anything, you know, and we bind the demons, we render them powerless, we command everything to be broken. I always make, if I really know there's a demonized necklace or rings on, I tell the person, you need to take these off. And we might right away pray over all of them and just get them out of the way. And numerous times they've been willing to give them, but we confiscated. And in the past, we used to, you know, show them on display in conference settings and so forth. But it was better to burn them, get rid of them, take some pictures of them, show them just to give as an object to show as far as teaching others what to look for. So what's in the room? And what next thing is, what rituals have or are being done? Now, there's times in the evenings, many times in late evenings, when we had cult multiples brought to us to the offices, the old offices. Well, the coven knew that they were brought to us, so they're back there doing a ritual. And we've engaged where we're dealing with demonic stuff. We feel intervention, you know, literally we feel an intervention, you know, interference coming in, and there's discernment that something's being sent. And there's times I've asked personalities, and they knew something was being sent, or they're being watched through astral projection and the demonic work from the outside coven. So you may need, again, to pray against any interaction of informant spirits with the coven, binding and canceling out any work that they might be sending against you, or any astral projection that's coming in to command the demons that empower those human spirits to be broken and to be bound completely, and again ordering them, and for those, and that's the way to get rid of the projected personality that's coming in too. And your other team members may be doing some prayer warfare against any covens and handlers and so forth, just to keep the room free. And I will pray for the Lord to seal the room. And again, asking Psalm 68, asking for God to send angels in and do warfare and so forth also. Now, one of the times that this occurred was with some guys from Youth for Christ years ago, and brought down from Berea a woman when she sat in the chair. As we began to talk, she wouldn't take off her sunglasses because I don't think she wanted me to detect the switching that was going to be going on her eyes. At one point in the conversation, she looked at me, and she was like all of a sudden shocked and afraid. She said, "There's two very large angels standing behind me." And she was saying something about it and kept looking up and looking up. Of course, I didn't see anything. But I prayed out loud right in front of her with her eyes open. I mean, she, of course, looking through those glasses. I prayed, "Lord, send warrior angels here to give protection and to guard and to fight anything demonic." And she just jumped back in her chair, you know, and looked around and immediately declared all of a sudden there were numerous big, tall, white, brilliantly white beings, angels that had swords and shields and so forth. Well, all I know is that God does send angels in protection and so forth, and we've seen that happen again and again. On page 46.9, demons speak and they attack. Of course, they attack verbally and so forth, and they might try to push outwardly. They may try to move through or initiate, a personality who's been trained and programmed to fight. If all of a sudden they're triggered up and the demons, unleash the power into their, that moment in their programming, the human person may jump up to attack you. We see this in the book of Acts 2 when the guy who was not even saved went in to do deliverance on a man that had demons, and the demon said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And got up and beat them all up, the seven sons of Sceva, and beat them all up. They went out naked and bleeding and so forth. I mean, he just tore them up. So, and obviously the in Mark 5, the demonized guy there, nobody could bind him with chains and nobody even wanted to be around him, it looks like. So that can happen. So bind them from using the body. Bind them from throwing up for any kind of other distractions. Command them, no, you will not use other personalities. No, command that all demons will not empower programming or trigger others out. And just trust, and again, claim the authority of the Lord and the Lord to order what happens next. Again, sequence is important so it doesn't become chaotic. God's the God of order, not of chaos, and just ask the Lord to order. That's why I love that verse again, and I've shared it again and again out of Isaiah 48, 17 and 18. He teaches us what is best and leads us in the way we should go. So let's just trust, because the Lord's there. The Holy Spirit's there. The Lord Jesus is there. He can guide. He's there with power and authority. And obviously the demons are going to battle because this whole human being has been trained to be their battle vessel. Now, what are they saying? Demons all of a sudden start speaking literally through the lips of the human being. And you can never trust them, of course. Even when I command them to tell me how many are there, I've already prayed, Lord, how many demons are there? And I might already write down a little pad that I'm working with, mapping. And I might already write down 37. And I command the demon, how many are there? And the demon, you can tell. You can get a sense of it after a while. And it's like, there's 12 of us. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I know you're lying, and if you don't tell me the truth right now, I'm going to ask the Lord to bring judgment on you. And I've seen where a demon will say, all right, there's 37, in that sense. So I never rely on the demons to tell the truth, but I do rely on the authority of the Lord to force that truth. But I always predicate that on the Spirit of God speaking to me first. In other words, I do that to get the truth and the information first from, ask the Holy Spirit, and then commanding the demons to speak certain things. And there's times when I will deal with a demon and I will literally command them to say, I want to know how you got there. Well, we're going to come to that in point 10, but there is information that I have found along the way that the Lord wants us to know. That he wants us to know it for the bigger picture. And again, you're dealing with a person who has 40, 30, maybe 25 personalities in which half of them are demonized. And so the Lord may order a confession of certain things by demonic presence so that we know what else is there and what to deal with. Again, you'll have to do this on an experiential level. You have to just do this and go step by step being led by the Lord. Again, when you're watching the person and listening to the Lord, what are they doing? Demons can come up direct. They can come through a sub-personality out of nowhere. Sometimes you may trigger a personality and you didn't really realize, mean to or whatever, and when they pop up, their demons are there with them in the programming. Now, another issue is if you've gone to their home to deal with them or if they brought somebody, a friend with them to your office, well, is that friend a demonized person? Is it another multiple? And so in the room when I'm praying, if there's sometimes we've had five or six people in a room and I've I have prayed that God would protect everybody in the room, but I'm also going to be sensitive that if they said, "Well, I have to bring a friend because I can't do this without a close friend," you know. Well, I'm already praying whether that person has anything or is doing anything to keep them triggered so that nothing will come up. And if I have to dismiss that person, well, I have to dismiss that person. You may come to times where there seems to be a block, and that might be, again, a demonized gatekeeper. And again, you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit what to do next, whether it's commanding or whether getting the name of a demon or the name of a personality, asking the Holy Spirit to bring forth a personality that needs to be delivered, saved and healed, and then freed to go with Jesus. Let's touch on point 10. That's the process for exposing and expelling demons in SRA. Bottom line, taking authority over all the demonic. Taking authority, Luke 10, 17, 18. You have authority to trample on the demonic realm. So you take authority and you keep authority all the way through. You take charge in a sense on the demonic against the demonic realm. Give them no ground. Second is always, the issue is always command and demand. You're commanding them. You're ordering them. Jesus never asked them politely. He didn't say, "If you would, please." He just ek out. He just, in the Greek, is ek, to get out sternly. So he is commanding, like in Mark chapter 5, in the Greek, he's commanding them, telling them. He's doing it more than once, literally, in that case, and demanding by the authority of Jesus. And, you know, I've heard people, you know, they do all kinds of stuff. I've seen believers, and bless all the brothers and sisters that do things. I've seen brothers and sisters, you know, slap people in the head with Bibles and throw oil. This one pastor had so much oil on this girl's head for this deliverance session that her hair was just soaked. I mean, you literally soaked. And you know, you can do things like that, but it's not necessary. Again, look how Jesus did what he did. Look how the apostles and then second generation believers in the book of Acts, just watch what they did. You know, the disciples simply came back and said that the demons submit to us. They follow our orders in your name. And so that's the bottom line. You're going to order them precisely. If you tell a demon, shut up, it'll stay there. It'll shut up. It'll stay there. It won't go anywhere else. You know, inside it's going to think, well, you know, you didn't tell me to go anywhere else. I'm going to stay right here. So the bottom line is, what are you telling the demons? You will not cause this person to get sick or throw up. You will not allow them to astral project out. All demons through the system, under the ruling demon, you're going to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to call for help. We seal this room in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask the angels of God to come in a battle. Any other demons will come in, you know, would even try to come in and help. You know, we're cutting off all that sources. This is not just a single person with a demon or a few demons. This is a person who's been designed from the beginning to be a vessel, a vehicle for numerous demons, numerous abilities, and to become a warrior, satanic warrior monk or satanic super soldier for the enemy. That's who you're dealing with. And so command and demand the demons. Bind them. Command against any harm. You know, be very precise. Tell them, you know, so forth. And if I don't feel led to dismiss them out, command them out yet, because, you know, I'm asking the Lord, is there anything this is going to have to say, or, you know, whatever else. There's times that occurs. And so, you know, there's times I've commanded that you're going to, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, I feel the Lord leading that you have something that you're supposed to tell us. And I've done this many times. I command the demon to look up in the spiritual realm and see Christ. And every single time I've ever done that, those demons tremble and they know that Jesus is right there in that realm with them and they're just freaking out. And I just say, under the authority of Jesus in his presence, whatever he commands you to tell, I command you to tell right now. And at that moment or before, I'm already saying, Lord Jesus, what is it you want us to know? Or I might be writing something down just to get, you know, the Lord's authority and word on that. But they may have to confess, and sometimes when they confess out loud things, the rest of the personalities hear it, the secrets come out, and sometimes that helps in dealing with a larger coven. So I know a lot of people don't want to get information, but a lot of that information has helped us many times find coven locations, know what to go after, know what to pray, know who handlers and others are, and deal with a broader picture. We found out, you know, when they meet, what kind of games they've been playing on us, and that kind of stuff too. So you're going to command and demand all the way through. C, call them up out or back. You seek out the demons wherever they are. And again, Holy Spirit perception all the way through. When they manifest fully, well, obviously, there they are. They're using the eyeballs, the mouth, speaking to you, and you command them. You know, you're not going to harm anymore. In a cult multiple, you'll command them and any other demons, all demons throughout the whole system. Holy Spirit perception, HSP, Holy Spirit perception all the way through. That means listening to him speaking to you, to give you the guidance, the sequence of what's next. If the Holy Spirit gives you the name of a demon, to call up that demon. Who is, you know, Stario? This one demon's name was Stario. I'm just using it as an example. Commanding those demon names up. You will not hide anywhere. You will not be, you know, go anywhere. And if any demons have been dismissed for a short period of time, I command you to come back. All of that to deal with the battle right then and there, to sever legal authorities that they claim, to sever all the ways that they've been connected. Even again, the objects that are around a neck or whatever, if they claim that there's an insert, you know, again, in those areas where there might be a claim for that, again, to renounce the demonic, to break its legal rights, and again, to command them and order them away and never coming back. We'll touch on that again in a second here. Point D, seek the how and the why. How many are there? You know, how many are there? As a matter of fact, we're right now at 60 minutes on this session, and we're going to have to go to part two on this. So again, the Lord bless you, give you tremendous wisdom. Think on these things. Sit back and go over the notes. Let Scripture come to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Listen, it's all about even becoming better and better and more precise. Jesus promised the Father would sharpen us. If we bear a little bit of fruit, John chapter 15, right? If we bear a little bit of fruit, he will sharpen us and cause us to bear more fruit, and fruit that will last. God, may God increase our abilities and what we need to do in dealing with this complexity of cult multiplicity and the demonization. God bless you again. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.